And just wonderful words that you spoke by the Spirit of God there. God was really energizing you and working in you to really minister to the hearts of the people, you know, to think that this life without God is tough, but with God it's so much more easier. And when we understand who we are in Christ, what we received when we believed, when we confessed Jesus as Lord, and we believed God raised him from the dead, we received the Spirit of God. We became born again. And God says that the gifts that he gives, he doesn't repent of. So no matter what you do, you are born again, sealed up until the day of redemption, as it says in Ephesians. And God, you know, when God raised Jesus Christ from the dead, he seated at him, his own right hand. But he also seated us there spiritually. We are at the right hand side of God in Christ Jesus. Okay. And we're not saved because of anything that we do, say or think, apart from believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. So it's not by my merit or my effort that I'm saved. It's by what Jesus Christ done and my faith on him and my trust in God that he sent him. So it's not on us. Our salvation was not on us. It was on Jesus Christ. All we had to do is believe. And it's the same today. To receive those wonderful, great and precious promises of God and everything that Jesus Christ made available, we receive it by believing, by faith. That we can't see those spiritual blessings because they're spiritual, but we know they're there and what God says they are, and we can see it in our minds, and we say what God says. We act as God directs, and as we do that and we expect, then God comes through and all these wonderful blessings, those spiritual blessings, become manifest. So you said about your mum, she's already healed. It's already done. Like Jesus Christ accomplished that. He paid for that. So the manifestation will manifest is through the words we declare and believe in that. And, you know, so we don't look at the circumstances in this world. There's plenty of voices in the world of worries, fears, doubts. You're just not good enough. You never make the grades. You know, you don't know what you're doing. But God doesn't think of us like that. And he doesn't speak about you or me like that. Or anyone. The two greatest gifts that God gave to the world was one, his son, Jesus Christ. It says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish but have everlasting life. And the second greatest gift he gave for eternity was the gift of Holy Spirit when we believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we received Jesus as Lord, the scriptures say that is complete. So like in Colossians chapter 2, I'm going to read it to you. It says, for in him, Christ, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And you can put your name right there. This is in Colossians chapter 2, verse 10. And you. So you can put your name there, Michael, Amy, Jack and Becky and Danny and Amber and Marie and Katy and Peter and Frank and Mary. Everyone that's on it, Madeline, Michael. Okay, you are complete. In other words, there's nothing lacking. God has provided everything, right? And you are complete in him who is the head of principalities and powers. All the devil spirits, Satan, all the authorities in this world are under his feet. And every name will bow to the name of Jesus Christ. So you got poverty? Poverty, I command you out in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, I thank you for your abundance. Health and healing. Sickness, you be gone in the name of Jesus Christ. I claim that health and healing. You receive the things from God by faith. No doubts. By faith. You don't know how God's going to do it, but your mind should be set like, okay, I don't know how God's going to come through here, but God's going to come through. I trust him. Like it says in Proverbs, trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not unto your own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him. Don't acknowledge the circumstances, but acknowledge God, and he shall direct your path. So devil spirits, when they know who you know who you are, they're frightened, they're scared. They believe in God and they tremble, it says in James. And so when you believe who you are, you take your authority. So authority is for you to exercise as God works in you to exercise it. In Romans 8:14, it says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Jesus Christ, he was led by the Spirit of God. And he always done the Father's will because he was led by God. He was at the right place at the right time. So for me this week, usually I've been staying in. And God kind of had me up. I put a little video sharing up on my Facebook wall. He had me up at 4 o'clock on Tuesday. And so anyway, I ended up going out. And I took the car for a wash, you know what I mean, got in Kingswood. And I got to share the word with this young man. The door just opened. And he wasn't interested at first because of tradition. All he knew was traditional Christianity. And so he wasn't interested. But when I started to prompt further, as God was energizing me, this, I got his attention. And he really started to listen. Then he started to ask questions. And I was able to answer his questions so easily. And he even shook me hand at the end of it and said, thank you ever so much, you know. And so I was of a service. You know, I was able to serve. You know, we're born to live and we're born again to serve, to be of service. To, you know, we lay down our life and take it up in the life of Christ so that we can give, that we can minister, that we can be that light in someone's darkness. You know, because there's many people that are in darkness and in the shadow of death. But the light has shone from God in Christ, and now it's shining in you, because it's God in Christ in you. So when we take our minds off us and put it on God, then we can move with great authority, because our ears are open. Our ears are sensitive to God. And sometimes we don't even recognize we're being led by God. You know, we're just going about, a thought will come in, go and clean the car. Man, the door opened. And then yesterday I went up Kingswood. And I was just up and I went up there. I had to get a couple of things. And I looked around the shops. And then I bumped into my old minister, Brendan McCann. I put the video on my Facebook again. And it was great. Like, we had a great chat. We was talking about the things of God and what God was doing. And I got him to do a little video to bless people, because he knows all the people we know. And so that blessed a lot of people that have watched it. And then from there, and he was really blessed to hear of the great things that God is doing with us and the doors that God's opening. And if it wasn't for that man, I wouldn't have taken any of the classes that I took. So I'm always thankful to see this man, wonderful Brendan. I call him the mad Irishman, you know, because he's got no fear, very bold. And I love him to bits, like a really great man of God. And so I said goodbye to him. I blessed him with some money. I said, go and have a drink on me. Happy Christmas. Just wanted to bless him. And so he took that and off he went on his scooter. Like, you know, he's 79 now. And I walked through the Kingswood precinct. And I thought, I'm going to get one of these hot dogs. They had a nice stand there. And they were cooking all these different, German hot dogs, cheese dogs and all this type of stuff. And I thought, I'm going to have one of them. So I'm stood in the queue. And the next minute I hear my name being called. And it was Ross Howe. Now, Ross Howe, years ago when I was 16, well, 15, 16, I used to train with him.
That was years ago.
Yeah, it was years ago. 38 years ago.
Wow.
YMCA, we used to spire together and box. And I was actually married at that time to his cousin, Donna. And so I got to know Ross really well, and we were very good friends. And he was doing really well in his boxing career. And one day I met him in Kingswood, and he was going to give it all up. And I said, why don't you just go and go away? Like, go to Australia or something and be a beach bum. And do you know what? He actually did. He actually went to Australia, took time, thought about what he wanted to do. And when he come back, he took up the boxing. And then he actually ended up being the first person from Bristol to win the British welterweight and Commonwealth title boxing. He was a great boxer, and they called him the Rooster. But he's a very humble guy as well, and a good friend of mine. So I was really blessed to see him, and he not long recently lost his dad, and I knew that obviously the whole family. And so we was just talking about his dad, and I was just able to give him some comfort and encourage him. And he was really blessed about that, you know. And he doesn't like his picture taken with anyone, but I said, come on, I've known you for all these years. You can have it taken whether you like it or not. And I took this picture with him. So it was a bit of a crack up there. So we had a good time. So when we take our mind off ourselves and put it on God, like, he had just arranged our day for us. Like, he had just arranged situations where we can give, where we can be blessed, and he wants us happy. You know, God doesn't want us downtrodden. And he wants us happy and to, you know, enjoy every single day. And we really can. Yeah, we'll have situations come up. There might be times when we feel a little bit emotional or feel a little bit discouraged. But like Marie said, it can be momentarily. Okay, it just can be for a moment of time. But we just get our eyes back on God and we start, you know, walking by the Spirit. And God is with us. And if you think that we are complete, there's nothing lacking. God left nothing undone. You are complete. And so the just shall live by faith, not by sight. We don't walk with what we see with our physical eyes. But we walk by those promises of God and an expectation on God that he's got open doors for us. He's got a future for us. He's got success for us. And we make that our confession. You know, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. So what are you thinking about yourself? When we look at the news, when we look at what's going on in the world, it can be pretty terrifying, right? But we got hope, and we got that hope that we got, we can give to others. So we keep these things positive. You know, we encourage people, we bless them. And it's in the practical. You know, we can have the theory, you know, what the scriptures say and stuff like that, but it's in the practical that deliverance comes. You know, that we start to get direction and we start to see the wisdom of God. God is energizing us in the practical. So when we start moving with God, we get his wisdom how to move, you know, how to do certain things, how to handle people, how to be a blessing. So God just says, like, don't worry. Just don't worry. If there's any concerns in your heart, finances or whatever, give it to God. Because God says, I supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. If it's health issues, you give it to God. You claim your healing. By his stripes, I was healed. So we claim this. You know, we don't settle for the negatives. We refuse to worry. If a concern comes up, say, I refuse to worry because I'm complete in Christ. I've got the Spirit of God. I am God's masterpiece. I'm completely, completely, absolutely complete. And the just shall live by faith, not by what they see. And God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. So my desire is that all of you guys have a really, really great fellowship right now and a great day tomorrow and coming up to Christmas. I'm telling you now, listen carefully. Any needs you met before Christmas will be met. They will be met because God will back up my words and you receive this by faith. So whatever you're lacking, God says, I'll supply it. And don't worry about the future. Don't give in to the pressures of this world. No, don't love this world. Love God before you love above the world. What has the world given to you apart from problems, apart from people talking down at you? But why not go to God who's always encouraging you? And he says, I love you. I care about every detail of your life. You know, it takes more of a man to be a believer than it does to be an unbeliever. It takes more of a woman to be a believer than it does to be an unbeliever. It's easy to be an unbeliever. We just start talking like the world. We just start speaking the fears and the worries and the doubts and I'm better than you. That is a terrible life to live. I've lived it. I lived it for years. But thank God that he made a way for us to live a great life. A respectable life, a life where we can impact other people's lives and do what God puts in our hearts to do, to be a comfort to someone, to encourage other people. God wants you encouraged. He says, don't you worry. You know, I am with you. You know, I got my thoughts for you are very high, God says. Whoever you are, whoever's listening to this now and later on the website, God loves you. He's got a plan. And he's got a purpose for you. Yes, you. And no one is better than anyone else. We all needed the Savior, right? I'm not saved here because I'm good. I needed Jesus Christ in my life because I was lost. I needed Jesus Christ in my life because I was bad. But because of the new perspective, the words of life, now I got a different perspective on life. And I live above the world's mindset. Because I know who I am. I know that I'm born again of the Spirit of God. I know I'm a child of God. I know I'm provided for. I know God will never let me down. I know God protects me and he blesses those that are around me, my family. My job as the head of my home is to keep God there. That's it. I keep God first in my life, and then I work with my family. I bless my wife. I encourage her with those things. I bless my children. I've always encouraged them to go to God. I've never forced it upon them, apart from when they were kids. And I used to get the spoon out and say, now you listen to God. No, I didn't do that. Right, but, you know, because God doesn't do that. He doesn't beat us up. But it's all about the love and the encouragement. You know, I'd rather live the life I'm living than having all the parties and discos and everything I want to do and thinking I'm free when actually I'm not free. Because if you're not free in your mind, and if you're not free in your heart, and if you haven't got Jesus as your Lord, you definitely won't be free there, because there'll always be something to tie you back to the world. But God says that we can live above the systems of the world. So life is all about words, guys, and the arena is your mind, right? God says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So the world says for you to fear. God says, I haven't given you a spirit of fear. The world says for you to hate and be mistrusting. God says, you trust me and you love others. So there's a different, God has a totally different perspective. His thoughts, God's thoughts are not our thoughts. His ways are not our ways. God has got a hope and a future for you. And he doesn't take away your free will choice. He says, here's life and here's death. He said, choose you this day, life or death. And God even tells you the answer. He says, therefore choose life. And Jesus Christ said, see, Jesus Christ is that life. He gave it up so that we can have this life that he had. And that we can be those sons of God before him, those daughters of God before him. He said, I am come that they, those that believe on him, might have life. And this word life means in all its fullness, in all its splendor and glory, that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly, not just abundantly, but more abundantly. And before that, he said this, the thief comes only to steal, kill and destroy. And then he said, but I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. You can read that in John 10:10 in the scriptures. And so God really wants you to have a great life, and if you live it God with God, you can have a great life. And God wants you to be you. He's not asking you to be holy and, you know, go around with a sackcloth on your head and a big robe. He wants you to be you with the Christ in you. And, you know, when you just be who you are as a person, and with God working in you, you can change the world. We are world changers. You know, if you don't think you're any good, you won't be any good. If you don't think you'll ever be successful, you'll never be successful. And like Becky said, change your thoughts, change your life. What does the scripture say? As a man thinks in his heart about himself, so is he. You are successful. You are prosperous. You are wealthy. But Lawrence, look at my life. Nothing goes right for me. You are prosperous. You are successful. We pay that no attention, but we aim ourselves towards God. And then we practice the things that God shows us to do. And when we do that, then those spiritual blessings which we can't see will manifest in front of us so that we can see. And Sandgate was sharing with me, was it yesterday? Tuesday, that these guys in Nepal, they're just really prospering. Now, their country is a poor country, right? You've got India and Nepal. They're like, Nepal is like a lower class to India in finances and how they live. And so, you know, they don't earn a lot of money a week or, you know, or a month. It's very, very low. Like, you're talking about $2 a day to live on, you know what I mean? But the believers that have come to God through the words that have been spoken to them, all these guys were encouraged, number one, to honor God, to look to God, and to go only to God. These guys started honoring God with their finances. these guys are now prosperous. They're receiving abundance like we receive it in the West. So they're very prosperous, right? They were living in, like, you know, kind of makeshift homes. They've brought lands and built their houses. The same in India. And these guys live a lot lower than what we do. How do they do that? Because it's the favor of God. Because this is the will of God for all man. He wants you to prosper and be in health. I'll read you. I'll show you the scripture, all right? Let's go there. Because I think tonight, this is just what's coming to my heart to do. In 3 John, that's before the book of Revelations, chapter 1. This is what God says by one of his prophets. Beloved. So, if you're born again of the Spirit of God, God calls you his beloved. You are his beloved. You're the apple of his eye. Just like your kids right now, you look at them, you're killed for them, right? Because they're the apple of your eye. You are the apple of God's eye. He loves you so much, right? He really does. And when you start to understand that, then your life changes even more. Because I never used to love me, because everyone used to say I was no good, couldn't do anything. But then God showed his favor to me. And then God brought people into my life to speak these good words that I'm speaking to you. And built my confidence. Now I love me. Because if you don't love you, you ain't going to love anyone else. And I only love me because I know that God loves me. You see what I'm saying? I'm in and of myself, I'm nothing. But in God's eyes, I'm everything. So I think with that mind. It says, beloved, I wish. This is God's. This word wish means it's God's intense desire. Above all things. So above all things, God's intense desire for you. Who's listening to these words? Right? Above all things, that you may prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. Your soul is what makes you you. Your will, your mind, your emotions, your body, everything, right? He wants you to prosper and be in health. When you look at the word prosper in the Greek, it means to have a good journey through life. Let me ask you a question. Whether you believe or whether you don't, are you having a good journey through life? You might say, yeah, life's good now. What about when it goes wrong? Where are you going to go? Where do you turn to? Because I tell you, this life is filled with peaks and valleys. One minute you can be up, next minute you can be down, right? But when you stay with God, you can be constant. You know, because we're not afraid of the storms of life. Because there's many storms that come up. There's one going on right now the whole world round with this pandemic. Are you afraid? Or is your faith rooted in and trust in God? Because if it is, you won't have no fear. You won't fear no pandemic, viruses, germs, diseases. Because it won't touch you. You just look to God and you have great faith in God. And you take authority. You can heal. You can deliver. God can even raise you from the dead. You know what I mean? So God's heart is that you prosper and be in health even as your soul prosper. He wants you to have a good journey through life. He wants you to have the things that you desire. But he wants to be first in your life. And when we start to look to God, he will direct our steps. So God is with us and he's for us. He will never leave us or forsake us. And God wants you to keep expectant. So like when you're expecting, like if I said to you, Chrissy, I'm sending you a letter. You'll be expecting it to arrive there in Los Angeles, right? You'll be expecting it. Oh, I got a letter coming. Well, when we pray, be expecting for the answer, because God says, if you pray with faith, without doubting, then he's going to do this for you. And then so you expect the answer to come. You know it's going to come. So faith says, yeah, the answer is already coming. So you don't worry about it. You don't doubt. If you've got faith, you're not worrying or doubting, because fear is worry, fears and doubts, and it issues in unbelief. Faith is confidence and trust in that what God says he's going to do, he's going to do, even if you can't see it. It will come. So this is how I live my life. I live my life like this, and it's fun. And sometimes, yeah, I might have a little bit of a tough time, but I always bring my mind back and anchor it in truth. That God says, he shall supply all my need. That he is my deliverer. He is my strength. No plague will come near my dwelling. 1,000 have fought on my left. 10,000 shall fall at my right. But it shall not come near unto me. So whatever needs you've got, You might have many needs. If you've got many problems, you go to God. Take each problem to God. Father, this is what's going on in my life, and I give this problem to you. Now, God hears you. And let me tell you, it, in the Old Testament, the old believers, they knew if God heard them, they knew that God was going to answer their prayer. Well, God does hear you. Because when we received Jesus' Lord, this gave us direct access to God. So his ears are open unto you. So you expect God. Okay, God, I give you this burden. This problem I give to you, it's not mine anymore. And I'm not going to focus on it no matter what anyone is rabbiting in my ears. You're going to deliver me. You're going to take care of this. You are my sufficiency. You are my provider. You are my deliverer. And when you keep that confession of faith coming out of your mouth and in your mind, it permeates your heart. So it becomes a part of you. And then you start to see the manifestation of God's blessings, right? So God wants you thriving, not surviving. He wants you to thrive in every area. And this Christmas will be your greatest Christmas. Just receive these words. Expect it. Expect a great Christmas. You don't know how it's all going to be, but I haven't got all the money I wanted for everything. It's going to be a great Christmas. Don't worry about where it's all coming from. God says, I'll supply your need. And then I'm going to read one more scripture to you, because it is written, and Jesus Christ, he said to Satan, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that is proceeding or coming from the mouth of God in lifetime. So these words are from God, and these are words that are written down that were spoken from God. In Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20, it says this, now unto him, God, that is able. See, we got an able God. He's not disabled. He's not half able. He's fully able. And the great thing with this, he's fully willing. Because I may be able to do something for you, but I might not be willing to do it, right? Or I might be willing to do something for you, but I'm not able to do it because I don't have what it is to give you. But God says he's willing and he's able to help you. So he's able to help you and he really wants to help you. And he says, how you receive from me, my children, is by faith. Right? The scripture says, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he that comes to God must believe that God is, and that God is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. So God said, I'll reward you when you come to me with faith. In other words, you're coming to me, and you know whatever you ask me, I'm going to do for you. And you just need to stay believing until that answer shows up. So it says, now unto him, God, that is able to do exceedingly abundantly. Let's put that in today's language. God is able to do mega, super mega abundantly above all that you ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Whatever you ask God for, he can do super abundantly above all that you ask or think. So when you go to God, Father, this is my need, or this is my desire, I give it to you, and I thank you that it's done. You think, well, how can you thank him it's done if you haven't got the answer yet? Faith says you've already got it, right? That's what faith is. So Father, I thank you, it's a done deal. You've already taken care of this. And then it shows up. It manifests itself. So, my friends, keep staying with God. Stay with God every day. Get up, thank him for a great day. Thank him for ordering your steps, to have you at the right place at the right time. Ask him to build your faith and confidence. Ask him to give you an open door. Thank him for that abundance of peace we have through Jesus Christ, through that Spirit of God. And that's all you have to do. It's very simple. God made this simple, not complicated. You don't need a PhD to live the abundant life. You don't need a master's degree to live an abundant life. What you do need is faith and trust and confidence that if God says he can take care of you, you know that he's going to do that. Just go to him. just go to God and lay your burdens before him, and he'll keep you strong until your answers come. So that's what was in my heart to share.